Puh. Thank you for that, man. That was powerful. That was powerful. Well, I hope that this morning you have already been blessed. Because the good news is the greater blessing is still coming. There's been an interesting trend that has been interesting to watch. See, as the economy struggles for the average person, regular people have been spending hundreds, sometimes thousands of dollars on a fashion accessory. What am I talking about? Well, this is a labubu. And if you're one of the few who have not had the pleasures of knowing what this is, congratulations. And I'm sorry for what I'm about to do. See, labubus are a little bag accessory that you can buy in a blind box for $27.99. And they're cute, supposedly. But that's not the reason I'm talking about them. No, I'm talking about them because everyone is talking about them. Pop Mart, the company that sells and makes labubus, sells them in these blind boxes, so you never know what you're going to get until you've bought it. And Pop Mart only creates a certain amount in each wave, and so once they're sold out, they are gone. This has made labubus this massive cultural phenomenon as people try desperately to find the one that they want before it's gone. The secondhand market is huge, with people selling them at over 5 times the original price. The most expensive labubu resold at this point, was a collaboration between labubu and the shoe brand Vans. It was originally purchased for $27.99, but it was resold at auction for $10,000. This practice with the blind boxes and the not enough supply to meet demand is called artificial scarcity. And it is powerful for a reason. It creates lack. Because of the way that they're marketed and made, labubus are only sold at certain times and places as stock becomes accessible. It's hard to even find labubus in stores. And even if you do manage to get one, the one that you find in that blind box might not be the one that you want. Now, it's easy to laugh off or disregard people who are paying that much for what I consider an ugly troll doll, but consider for a minute that we are not all that different. We live in a world of artificial scarcity, of manufactured lack. As the commercials tell us that we are missing something, something that coincidentally their product can fill. Again and again, every day we're bombarded with messages that we aren't enough and that there's something else out there that will fill that void. Culturally, we get almost neurotic trying to fill this void, to stop thinking that we're lacking in something. So we buy supplements and cars and gym memberships and subscription services and phones and yes, even labubus, to try and fill that void that the advertisers keep telling us is there. We blame other people for our lack. The news telling us that we have finite resources, and if those people get some, there's not enough for us. Or we blame ourselves. We cover our lack under a facade of righteousness, trying to act a certain way, live a certain way, if not to fool others, then to fool ourselves into feeling fulfilled. And for some people, they don't even get manufactured lack because they have actual lack. A paycheck that doesn't quite cover everything anymore. A relationship that isn't genuine. A body that's not functioning the way that it's supposed to. And into this fray, into this lack, we come to church to eat a tiny morsel of bread and the smallest sip of grape juice. Why does Jesus command us to do this? This act of breaking bread. And what does it have to do with lack? Today we're going to be exploring these questions, so join me in one more prayer as we dive in. Dear God, we have been given so much this morning. And as we look forward to the symbols that you have gifted us, help us to understand why you have given us these gifts. And we love you. Come soon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Matthew 14, we see a story of genuine lack, of not enough resources to go around. See, Jesus has been preaching all day, and the people have been there since morning, hanging on his every word, listening to Jesus. And now it's evening, and the disciples, always the practical ones, they see a problem start brewing. We find it in Matthew chapter 14, verse 15, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. It says, that evening the disciples came to Jesus and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." There is a genuine problem, a genuine lack. There is not enough food, point blank. But Jesus answers in a really strange way. He says this in Matthew 14, 16. He said, Jesus said, "That isn't necessary. You feed them." And to be honest, if I'm the disciples, this is incredibly frustrating. It's like, yes, Jesus, that's the problem. We can't feed them. In fact, in the very next verse, they tell Jesus that they only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And so, with this problem at hand, with this inability to feed the crowds, with the inability of the disciples to feed the crowd, Jesus does the next best thing, and he feeds them. Matthew 14, 17 through 21. "Bring them here," he said, and he told the people to sit down on the grass. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up towards heaven, and blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples, who distributed it to the people. And they all ate as much as they wanted, and afterwards, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the women and the children. When Jesus took the bread, he broke it, and it didn't run out. In fact, everyone was fed, and fed to bursting, and they took home leftovers for breakfast the next morning. You see, when Jesus breaks the bread, the food is sufficient. Now, one of my favorite topics in the Bible is the sanctuary. Yes, I am very Adventist. It's the tabernacle. I love talking about that. I was a homeschooled fourth-generation Adventist. It was inevitable that I would be interested. And a few years ago at my last church, I was doing a study with the 7th and 8th graders on the sanctuary, on the tabernacle, and I came across something very interesting. See, in the holy place, there were only 3 pieces of furniture, and one of them was a table that held bread. There's a theme to this sermon, in case you haven't caught it. It was called the table of showbread, or the bread of the presence. And in classic books and art, there are these nice little cakes that kind of look like pancakes, right? These little round, fun, like bite-sized loaves, like this is the ancient Israelite version of a Pizza Hut personal pizza, right? And then you look at what the Bible says. Because in Leviticus 24, we get a rough measurement for the bread. And I'm going to quote this from the New International Version. In Leviticus 24, 5 through 6, it says this: "You must bake 12 flat loaves of bread from choice flour, using 4 quarts of flour for each loaf. Place the bread before the Lord on a pure gold table and arrange the loaves in 2 stacks with 6 loaves on each stack. In the Hebrew, it says 2/10 of an ephah. What's an ephah? Well, an ephah is about 35 pounds. So 2/10, quick math, and each loaf of the showbread took 7 pounds of flour, about 25 cups of flour each loaf. This is what the loaves of showbread actually looked like. And there were 12 of these massive, almost table-sized loaves of bread. This bread symbolized Christ, not little itty-bitty, tiny, personal pan pizza-sized loaves. Massive pieces of bread that would have been enough for everyone who partook. It was enough bread to feed all the priests on duty that week. Because when God is the bread is sufficient. And now, here we are. When I was a kid, I liked communion. I just wasn't a fan of the portions. See, it frustrated me how little we got. Because, trust me, if you don't realize this already, what we're going to hand out in a minute here is not sufficient for lunch. And the weeks that communion fell on a potluck Sabbath were the worst. Because you can smell the odors, the delicious smells coming from the kitchen, and you knew lunch was coming, and here is a half inch by quarter inch little snack of bread, and enough grape juice to technically say that you drank some, technically. But once you realize what God has done, what God continues to do, you start to see that yes, even this small bite of bread is sufficient. Because it symbolizes the fact that Jesus came to this earth, died a sinner's death, my sinner's death, rose again on the third day, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father in glory with your name on his heart. And soon, very soon, he is coming to take us to spend eternity with him forever. See, our world is a world of lack, of manufactured lack, of real lack. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe your money doesn't go as far as it used to, and the bills keep coming, and they keep climbing, and our income keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Or maybe your finances are fine, but you find yourself running out of time. Your body is starting to feel the ravages of sin and slow decay. You don't have time to spend with your family, engage in hobbies. Every day is a race to the finish as you start to see the end in sight. Maybe you're worried about the world around us, that the wrong type of people are taking the things they shouldn't. Or maybe you're alone. You don't have those close relationships with people around you, those confidants, those trusted people in your life that you can turn to in moments of joy and crisis. Or maybe, like Pastor Alspa preached last week, you don't think you're good enough, holy enough, righteous enough to be sure in your salvation. Well, in this act that we are going to do in a few moments here, Jesus tells us that he is sufficient. Whatever your finances, Jesus has promised that he will take care of you, that he sees the flowers in the fields and he clothes them, and how much more important are you? That as we break the bread, we know that we will have enough to eat because he is sufficient. And if you are lacking in time, that Jesus is the God of eternity, a God who has promised life forever with him. And as he breaks the bread of his body broken for you, Jesus promises that in his life, you will find eternal life, that his life is sufficient. And if you are alone, that God cares, that God is there. And in the breaking of the bread, he reminds you that he did this for you. That Jesus died because he loves you individually. And that you cannot run away from his love. And that his love is sufficient. And if you missed last week's sermon or you need to hear it again, that in the breaking of bread, in the breaking of his body, Jesus claimed you forever. That nothing except your own conscious, willful choice will ever take you away from him. Because God's grace is sufficient. See, as Seventh-day Adventists, we practice what's called open communion. Whether you are a member here or not, whether you are baptized or not, whether you have made a personal commitment or not, there are no barriers to taking this bread. Everyone is welcome at the Feast of the Lamb. And as a community, we're going to take this time to remember. What we're going to do is I'm going to call up the elders to bless the symbols and invite God to use them in a special way. Then we'll pass them out and eat and drink together as one united family. So with the elders here, please join us in prayer as we bless these emblems.
Heavenly Father, today we are thankful for the reminder